It's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to Dynamo's Dozen.
You're listening to Dynamo's Dozen. Now let's welcome your host, Team Dynamo Kelly.
Welcome to Dynamo's Dozen, the podcast that I bring you each and every single week where I talk about whatever may be on my mind, from pro wrestling, sports, entertainment, music, movies, newsly, fresh shocks and jocks, and everything in between, never forgetting the talc. And you are listening to another episode of Dynamo's Dozen. Thank you to each and every one of you that have subscribed so far. Be sure to hit the bell notification for all of our videos that go live, and be sure to like and sub. And well, I've already told you to subscribe, but be sure to like and comment and let us know what you think of these videos. Of course, as you know by now, we've had two big guests already since the launch of this show, with Vince Russo and, of course, Double J, Jeff Jarrett, all slap nuts himself. And, of course, not forgetting Sonny Ono. I was gonna go there. You're a regular feature, of course. I am joined once again by my right hand man on this show. He is the shopkeeper, Niall Hogan. On his show, he is the coach, he's whatever you want to call him, on the upper tier. But yeah, 100%. We have lots of content that a lot of you may or may not have seen from our previous endeavor with the Dynamo Podcast Network. So over the next few weeks, we will start putting those videos up as well so that you can see some of them. And then soon we're going to be going into the vault of Dynamo's Dozen, where you're going to hear from some of the biggest names in the history of professional wrestling. Shout out to Morris Shorthall from GP Productions, of course, who put up some nice comments over the course of the last few weeks, in particular the Russo one, where he said, great to hear one of the greatest minds in pro wrestling talking to Vince Russo. So shout out to you, Morris.
Awesome. Love Morris.
And of course he has a great show as well, where he has talked to people like Vince Russo as well. Nice short, probably 15 to 20, 30 minute interviews that he does with pretty much what I do. So it's always good to have each other's back. So shout out to Morris as well. But of course, I am joined today by my right hand man on this show. He is a regular and he will continue to be a regular, has been for many a year. And we're doing another top 10 today. On the road to WrestleMania, we're going to bring you lots of these top 10 videos because feedback is always great from them. But first and foremost, Niall, how are you, my brother?
I am really good. Football is back. We're on the road to WrestleMania. I'm on the road to Dallas with 9 other friends. So we're going to have a good time. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I want these weeks to go by pretty quick. Not in so much good news, but I also have a 50th coming up soon. Not that you would think it in HD here the way you see me, but a couple of weeks' time, I'm 50. So I don't know whether I'm looking forward to it as celebrations or commiserations. I'm not too sure. But
are we doing it? Take it on. Are we doing a shindig for this, or what's happened?
I think there could be a few cocktails had in the Martello again, as we do. I'm sure we'll organise something. Or we might even get a night at the Dogs. Who knows? We'll see.
It would only be right, wouldn't it?
Actually, you'd have to celebrate something, wouldn't
you? Well, we'll have you on for a birthday show. Don't worry. We'll make sure that everybody that listens to you, that you bring listening and viewing pleasure to on a daily basis, gets to sing you in to your wonderful 50th. Life only begins at 50. It only begins at every decade that you get older. So
they say.
So they say. But Noel, why don't you, because we've kind of had some fun with this now. Obviously, the last episode, we did our top 10 Mania matches of all time. So we said we'd have some fun with it, where maybe each week between ourselves, we would pick a different, you know, top 10 or every couple of weeks and build up to Mania, because there's so much content from Mania that you could kind of play with. So you chose today's one. So why don't you let the listeners know what you decided to go with? You went a little bit outside of the box with this one.
Yeah, this one's a different one because it's kind of broad ranged, and it depends on, you know, what's close to you and what you enjoyed. And there's so many different dynamics to this. So for some, the highlight of it is different than others. But what I did pick was top 10 WrestleMania entrances. And of course, we'll of course have notable mentions as well, of course, because to just pick 10 is a tough one, because awesome. you could just pick 10 Undertaker ones if you wanted, you know. But what I would say to your viewers, if they have an idea for top 10 lists in relation to WrestleMania that they want us to do, they can send in their suggestions as well, and we will tackle those as well, no problem. And you know something? There might even be a mug for the person who sends in the best top 10 suggestion.
There's always a mug around somewhere at Wrestling Mania. Yeah.
100%. So yeah, it's top 10 WrestleMania entrances. It was an interesting dynamic when I looked at this today, because there's been so many entrances where bands have played them in live. There's been entrances where there's a lot of gimmicked up stuff. There's very simple entrances. There's entrances that you remember fondly from, you know, your years in the Attitude Era, and, you know, these guys coming up that were sort of, you know, really only broke onto the scene. There's ones that were kind of a bit wild, ones that were kind of a bit downplayed. So some that are very simple, some that are very dynamic. But yeah, you did your homework today. I sprung this on you today and you were going, yeah, I like the sound of that one.
And then I thought about it and went, holy shit, this isn't as simple as it
Yeah, so that's it. This one is a top 10 WrestleMania entrances. And of course, your viewers, drop into the comments there. Let us know. Even let us know your top three favorite entrances and why. Why you like those three, why they stuck out to you. Similar to last week with the matches, why did you pick those matches that are close and near and dear to your heart? Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, you're like I said last week, you're part of the furniture at this stage, but still, it's always nice for the host to allow the guest or the co-host at this point on these shows to go first. So I think it would only be right, Noel, for you to go first on this one.
Okay, I'll go first. A man who I absolutely love to bits. I'm a huge fan of him and has always been a huge fan of him. You know from me fondly talking about him on the pod, man. I've always fought his corner when I've come up against hostility about him. But also a man whose entrance music is put together by a fantastic band, of which the main man is no longer with us, and a shout out to him.
Did you only go hostile against one person on the pod, man, at times when he may or may not have been winding you up?
Sometimes it's happened a number of times. It depends on the makeup of the pod, man. The first one I went with, and again, these are in no necessary order, because they're all very good in their own individual ways. I went with Triple H WrestleMania 17 with Motorhead playing him in live.
I thought that was
a cracking one. And this is Triple H to the gazelles in as good a shape as you'll ever see him, like a monster. And when I looked at it again today, because each of these I went back and I looked at them again, I couldn't believe how young Lemmy looked. Couldn't believe it.
You know, it's funny, he forgot the words during this one, didn't he?
This was kind of like spitting it out there, whatever it was, but I couldn't believe how young he looked. Like, the hair was dark, the beard was dark, the skin looked pretty good. He looked really youthful, you know what I mean? And I was surprised, but sad that he's gone and that he has left us. Absolutely fantastic band, Motorhead. Especially in relation to Triple H. And they were such an influence on Triple H as well. And somewhat on his character. I mean, his entrance music and stuff like that and all that kind of gear, it kind of brings the whole package together of what Triple H is.
No pun intended, it changed the game when he got that entrance music. I would agree. Nice shout, believe it or not. we're starting off well this week where we're not doubling up.
Surprise, you didn't have Motorhead in there. I'm surprised, maybe.
Too many, man. Too many. It's probably something that may or may not have slipped my mind, but I'm not going to admit that on this show. so take from that what you will.
You're pleading the fifth on this one.
Pleading the fifth. I went, the first one, I just wanted to get you a little bit emotional and get our viewers a little bit emotional. I went with the Nature Boy strutting onto the stage for his final WWE match in that luxurious blue robe. That, of course, I didn't notice it until today, funnily enough. It was later donated to the Smithsonian.
Yep.
And it's unbelievable. It's the walk to the ring. It's you can see the emotion in his eyes only after the fact. But I suppose if you kind of knew what was coming, didn't you? And the way he paused, kind of basking it in. I just wrote a few little words and stuff here on these as well. And when you could see him kind of almost holding back tears, because we know our Rick is quite an emotional man, but you could see as the fireworks lit up in Orlando, of all places as well, it was quite, I thought that'd be very apropos to shout out an old Jay Kennedy, one that he liked me to say.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good one for my first one anyway.
Yeah, they're an interesting one when you're going through them, isn't it? Because you look at them for different reasons. Some of it is music related, some of it is pyro and gimmicky, and some of it is just the whole emotion of that particular entrance. So that's a great choice. Yeah, I think Charlotte at 35 as well, when she came in and the helicopter to land as well, I think she was wearing a variation of that blue robe in respect for the dad. And she looks stunning in it as well, just like he did that night, Jay. But great show, great start, excellent. Who will I go with next? I'll get the feel of the band stuff out of the way first, right? So this is one you're really going to appreciate. And I don't know if you would have thought this was on my list, but on our other list of WrestleMania matches, I mentioned this match in my top 10 in its significance. So I went with CM Punk WrestleMania 29, Living Color, Cult of Personality, playing it live, and sounded every bit as good as it does when they normally play it. And I just remember him coming out onto the stage and Heyman and the urn and the whole lot. And just that the sum of all the parts just brought it all together. But I just thought that the song was so fitting as well. So I pumped him in there as one of my top 10. Yeah. CM Punk.
That's interesting because I almost had him on it as well, but then I realized I had 30 and I had to narrow it down.
That's okay.
So he didn't make the cut. I went, all right, I'm going to change up because I want to mess up with the genres here, because I do get accused of just being very nostalgic and old school and giving nothing of the modern era any credit. But
your viewers wouldn't have it any other way.
Absolutely, and rightly so. But I went with WrestleMania 21.
Yeah, good shit.
And John Bradshaw Layfield arriving in a limo with the police escorts. That wasn't the main part, but as he exited, $100 bills rained from the sky with a picture of his face on it. So like, people thought they were getting free money. But I mean, Jesus, they're probably worth more than 100 quid now if you were selling one on eBay.
They did the same with Shane O'Mac, if you remember as well. And they did the Shane McMahon ones as well. And then I think they gave away one of the bills, didn't they? As part of a deluxe edition of one of the games or something like that, or one of the DVDs or something like that. You got one of those bills. It's just pretty cool.
This for me was like, because I do think, you know, he doesn't get enough credit as the heel that he was and the champion that he was and how he was able to repackage himself. And like, I mean, look, his Hall of Fame speech alone tells you that this guy does not give a flying fuck.
And the bull horns on the limousine as well was kind of cool.
Like, just fantastic. Like, and not even asking Vince or the boss to fucking pay for it because he had his own money. He was doing this for fun at this point. Yeah. You know what I mean? This guy was a multi-millionaire himself, still is. So, I just thought heel JBL was very, very enjoyable for me, and I thought this was probably his finest entrance out of all of his mad entrances.
Yeah. I just thought, and you mentioned that, that something sprung to mind. I was in the shop today working, and in our cash drawer, I have one, a friend of yours, no doubt. I have a dollar bill from the Lord of the Manor that I got at a show in the Tivoli at an OTT show, Paul Tracy. Absolutely brilliant.
Coach Tracy.
Still have it there in the cash drawer. The only thing I'm concerned about, though, it's not legal tender. I was disappointed in that.
Well, listen, you'll have to get on to his people, if you want to take him to, you know, it's legal in the manor.
absolutely brilliant. Yeah, but I just thought that's going to kill a
child. Shout out to Paul Tracy.
Absolutely. Yeah, great shout. My third one then, I have to put this in because in recent times it's one of the biggest pops I've ever seen. But also, if you look at the build up to it, they did a show on it. It was the return, of course, of the Hardy Boys at WrestleMania 33. And the setting for it was absolutely brilliant. Again, that long ramp, as you remember. But the New Day came out and they were looking for another team to make it a fatal four-way for the tag belts. And the New Day said, "And wonder who this team is," and the suspense and all that. Now, there had been there was a few whispers that maybe the Hardys might return, but no one really believed it. So the New Day started walking down the ramp and taking off their gear and getting ready to go to the ring. The next thing, the Hardy Boys music hits. The crowd absolutely blew the building apart. And out comes Matt and Jeff as only they can. And I just remember from that entrance, just the New Day popping and doing the Jeff Hardy dance and all this kind of stuff, Big E and all the boys and all. And I just thought it was brilliant, but the absolute ovation that they got. And then they went on and won the tag straps, of course, only after dropping the Ring of Honor tag straps, I think the day before in a Ring of Honor show to the Young Bucks. So yeah, shout out to the Hardy Boys, WrestleMania 33, massive pop. Unbelievable, one of the loudest ones we've heard in recent times.
Good shout as well. I think we might actually not cross too many bridges here. This is cool.
Yeah, no, that's good.
I went with someone that people think I don't like, but it's not true. Probably because of my own, personal love for winding people up and really getting them mad about it. But now I've given away the secret. But I went with a Triple H entrance as well, and there are many. Yep. But I went with his entrance as the King at Mania 30 when he had the gold kind of face and had the girls unrobing him, Charlotte and all. I think we're unrobing him.
That's right. Charlotte and Sasha and all, yeah.
Yeah.
The Hummers.
I know he didn't win in this match, but I just still thought it was one of the best. Because it was like, I think the fact that it was still daylight and the lights were there, like, it just really stood out. He looked shit cool. You know, it's Hunter's getting a little bit older now and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was just, I loved the gold helmet, the armor, the red cape. You know, it was the King of Kings moniker, which I always preferred as King of Kings music, believe it or not. And it's Motorhead. But
yeah.
I love that song, Bow Down to the King, you know, and the riff. And I love, it's something like a movie could have been made of that character, like that entrance, you know what I mean? And he wouldn't have to take the mask off once. So, yeah, I went with a Triple H one for my third one. There you go.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. I think he pushed it too far when he did the other one. Remember the one with the Arnie one? With
the Terminator one. Yeah.
And that looked pretty. Cheesy crap.
It was still shit cool with all the Terminators popping up, and then I think that was when he wrestled Sting. But
that's right, yeah. Which really killed it.
but that's the thing, because I only wanted to see Sting in that match, and we won't talk about the match.
Absolutely.
This brings me back to my point about how much of a dickhead Triple H is. So
Speaking of the King of Kings entrance, as you know, I was at WrestleMania 22 when he first did it, the King of Kings. It was unbelievable. I have the original shirt still here in the wardrobe. And that's when he came out, remember, on the throne, and he had all the kind of the animal hide on him and stuff like that and all. It looked unbelievable. But that's not the entrance that I picked. the entrance that I picked was the man that he went against that night, one John Cena in Chicago, hostile crowd who wouldn't have much time for a guy like John Cena, who came out in that kind of old Bugsy Malone gangster kind of Chicago gangster kind of thing. And the gangsters that were in the car were not only one CM Punk and one Colt Cabana, which was kind of really, really cool. But yeah, well, WrestleMania 22.
They didn't think it was cool at the time, as history as
they were getting a nice payday that day. Don't worry about that, for doing very little and having a bit of fun.
Yeah,
that was kind of cool. I liked that, and he touched on it. And I think it kind of bedded him in with that hostile Chicago crowd as well. And the fact that he went over and he won on the night as well was kind of really cool, even though Triple H had done the big King of Kings entrance type of thing. So yeah, I like that Chicago gangster. It was a throwback in that city. Really cool.
What, John Cena went over, did he?
John Cena won, yeah. John Cena won.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Can you, even with poor L. Hunter, like, was there ever a time Cena didn't go over? Only in the latter years. Yeah. No. Good show. So that's your number three. My number four, I have went with WrestleMania 9, believe it or not. Of course, when it was, Hail Caesar mode in Vegas, open top arena, I went with Bobby the Brain Heenan coming out backwards, struggling to ride a camel.
There's our crossover now. Brilliant. Okay,
because like it's, do you know what? It's too goddamn funny. I mean, it's still in little highlight videos. You know, when they talk about Bobby Heenan.
Yeah. I went back and watched it today. It was just amazing.
Just amazing. Was it? I mean, and like, you know, most people know from watching previous shows how near and dear Bobby Heenan is to our hearts.
Yeah. 100%.
So yeah, for me, I think this was just genius. And I mean, it's the comedic gold and the comedic timing of Bobby. You know, not look, I think if
this is the brilliance of Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if there was more Bobby Heenans in pro wrestling with that attitude of not always trying to look cool and get your shit in.
Yeah.
You know, pro wrestling would be a much better place, right?
The worse he looked, the more he got over. Remember the time he was in the weasel suit? The stupider he got, the more popular and the better he got. You know,
the first
what I mean?
Episode just, of Raw, wearing the wig, pretending to be an old woman.
Just brilliant. But yeah, that entrance, I mean, if that isn't on everyone's top 10, I mean, unless you're of a certain vintage and you haven't seen it or something like that, but go back and look at it. All these ones, I went back and looked at today, but that one there, I was just cracking up all day long thinking about it. Absolutely brilliant.
Right, well, I'll tell you what we'll do then. Because we both crossed over on that, I'll go with number five then, because that's where we confused ourselves last time. So I'll go with number five and see if we have another crossover.
Yeah.
I went with another one that people will probably be surprised, but they shouldn't be. I went with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 12 in the Anaheim Pond, purely because of the absolute shithousery of it and like the audacity of the entrance, considering it was his first Mania main event, you know. And I think it was cool because obviously Bret's entrance was pretty cool, the way he came down looking looking like he meant business then after it. So I think both of it fit very well. It fit the narrative very well.
Yeah.
And then I suppose the story behind it that, you know, Vince was the first one to do it, and you see that famous video of Vince doing it with the hand in the air. Actually, just a side note, that WrestleMania 9 is very funny. I'm sure people have seen that, you know, documentary about WrestleMania. And you know, when Shawn Michaels' sexy boy starts, you know, when they're doing the thing and he's like, he's backstage doing the sexy boy dance, and then he just leads Shawn and Sherry out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'd say he was great crack back in the day, but Shawn at Mania 12, I think it was just it's very iconic moment, you know, when he's coming down.
The balls to do that zip line as well. I mean, that when you see him doing it, it scares the shit out of me even to this day, like, you know what I mean? And but fair play to him,
So that's not a crossover, so
it is.
Okay.
I have that. That's on my list. So we're getting there now. We're getting into the nitty-gritty of what we like. My next one, I went with one that we call it.
So this is your number six now, by the way, just so people are with us.
Yeah, that was about their number five.
So yeah, this is your number six. Yeah.
Yeah, this one I went with is an interesting one because it always cracks me up because this is a tag team, but one guy lives and breathes the gimmick, and the other guy kind of fell into the gimmick and always looked so uncomfortable doing it. But this entrance didn't lead to a match, as most entrances do. So this was WrestleMania 6, and if you remember, Rhythm and Blues. And it was just crazy in the Cadillac. And you've Jimmy Hart in the middle of it with the gold record. You've got Honky doing what he does. And he's
Diamond
absolutely
Dallas Page
brilliant.
Driving
Huge
it.
Huge fan. Diamond Dallas Page driving the Cadillac.
And owns it.
But have you ever seen a more uncomfortable Elvis than Greg the Hammer Valentine? And I watched it today and I went back and I watched it looking at Valentine, even trying to get out of the Cadillac. He nearly killed himself. He was so awkward. Whereas Honky's just like greased up, you know, Rhythm and Blues without a shadow of a doubt. But I just thought it was an hilarious entrance the way he came down. And when the Cadillac came out first, it looks like it's quite a short entrance. But when you look at the entrance then, whatever way DDP drove the Cadillac, it took forever. You know,
he was soaking in that moment, man.
Yeah, but you see Greg the Hammer Valentine all trying to do the dance with the guitar and all, and it's just Greg, please, it's just not you. Honky tonk all day long, Greg. You clearly were never an Elvis fan. You didn't get it. But yeah, no, really cool, really enjoyed it. I had to have a good throwback one in there.
Well, we've crossed over again because it's on my list.
Excellent.
I had written down here driving the pink Cadillac. It's not going to feature in most, but what makes it better was the people that were in it, and I mentioned it as well: DDP, Jimmy Hart, Honky Tonk Man, and Valentine, and the girls arrived in style as they cruised down the entrance. That's what I wrote. So.
Yeah, I was having to refresh myself today because I had to go back and check the card, and all, and I was going, yeah, these had this entrance, but they no match. I can't remember. Can you remember another entrance at WrestleMania that didn't lead to a match? I was trying to figure out today, could I think of one? I couldn't think of one.
Just complete shithousery. I suppose maybe WrestleMania was a four with Piper, obviously doing the interview, Piper's pit, with your man smoking. Yeah. That was four, wasn't it?
Think so, yeah.
It was at Trump Plaza anyway. I know that.
Yeah.
That's the only other one I could really think of that, you know, was memorable little segments. But genius. Right. Well, that was both of our number six. So I'll go with number seven then. Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm gonna do another throwback and I'm gonna go back to the first WrestleMania. And I only done a show last night for our brand new horror show, for anyone that's a horror fan of our show, by the way, myself, Carl King Woe, and Greg Flanagan from Dynamo Podcast Network have a show called On the Slab. So be sure to go and check that out, where we talk everything horror. And we did a show about They Live. And of course, They Live featured one of, as you know, Niall, my favorite, not just pro wrestlers, but people in pro wrestling ever. I went with Roddy Piper at WrestleMania 1, and I watched his entrance again today because we always got to remember where it started from too. You know what I mean? And the backstory without these guys, there is no WrestleMania. So I think it's only right that we kind of talk about it. Just the fact that there was like a procession of bagpipes, you know, walking him in Orndorff, and Bob Orton in. And then, you know, of course, the Hot Rod, all smiles until, did you get to that bit where he shoots just a dead stare at someone in the crowd? Like, because he's jacked up at that point. You can tell he's got the big steroid jaw and all. He's on the gear and he's just kind of stares at them, you know, and they're like, whoa, what's... Yeah. I can only imagine if you threw yourself back to that time and actually were there, or, you know, were around, you were kind of going, oh, these boys do mean business. Like, do you know what I mean? This is the Rat Pack. I had to put that in. So that's my number seven.
Nice. Great shout. My next one is Undertaker. We haven't had him on the list yet, but I will preface it by not saying I have 25 on the list as well, but this one I put in was from 21. And this is the one where he was the Undertaker and he comes out and you've got all the druids and all the torches and the druids going single file either side to go down and around the ring. Till this day, I don't know how they didn't burn the ring ropes off the ring with the torches and stuff like that. But you see Taker coming down and Taker's on this kind of little sort of dolly kind of contraption. So he's basically floating through the smoke. He's not walking, which I thought was really cool at the time. And I noticed, I went back and I looked at the entrance today again. And if you catch it on the commentary, your man goes, he really is the dead man.
Yeah.
He doesn't even walk. He floats and all this kind of thing. And I thought it was really cool, you know. And it was just, you know, floated down the foggy oil and the drill. It's all about what the Undertaker is in terms of those entrances and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I thought that one was really cool. Very, very simple gimmick. Fill the place with smoke and with fog. Put him on a little sort of dolly that gets pulled with a, you know, one of those railing things like off the back of a Jeep or a trailer, and he just brings him down and it's like he's just floating on the mist. Really, really cool. Really fitted the character. Thought it was cool.
Yeah, that's a great show. I remember that as well. I mean, kind of going, how did they do that?
So
that was your number 7. This is my number 8. I have a couple here because I'm looking at them all. I'm calling these on the fly, guys. I've got like literally 20. So, because I thought I'd do that. I wasn't going to narrow it down until I was on the show and in the moment and hear what you were saying. So make it organic, you know.
Absolutely.
My number 8, I'm going to go with the Ultimate Warrior. And it's not his stereotypical. I was going to choose Mania 6 because that's so iconic when you see, you know, the corner view of him just running out and then the camera panning behind him. And obviously Gorilla Monsoon's fantastic voice, you know, leading him into it. I don't know how he got through the rest of the match on that one with Hogan, to be honest with you. I think Hogan gave him a fair shake on that with rest holds and stuff. But I actually went with the following year, WrestleMania 7, because I thought it was very different for the Warrior. Instead of running as usual, he marched, you know, he kind of paid a bit of respect with this one, didn't he? Knowing that it was very, very different, but also still very, very gripping. You know, it was something different from the Warrior. And look, the Warrior was probably the most colorful character of all time in pro wrestling. So I went with Warrior Mania 7, and he could have been number 6, but yeah, it was just something really different to what we know from Warrior. So,
great shout. Well, just to put a bit of context on that, I went for the flip side of that match,
6,
with Savage and Sherry coming out on the thrones, which I thought was unbelievable and so fitting and so iconic in terms of both their situations in this match and the way the match unfolded and the way it was put together. And of course, we know it ended with Warrior standing on his chest, not as a mark of disrespect, but actually as a mark of respect. So between your entrance there with Warrior walking to the ring instead of the usual craziness, and between Macho and Sherry being carried out on the thrones, I thought it was incredible as well. So all round, that gives us just one full circle there, doesn't it, really, in the one match, which is iconic, really. Yeah,
cool. Absolutely. So we're down to number 9, and number 9 I've obviously went with Sergeant Slaughter at WrestleMania 7. No, I'm joking. I tell you, I was just waiting to see your face there. Go what? I'm gonna follow it up again with WrestleMania 1 again. I gotta say, because I got my hands a long time ago on the original copy without the, you know, the whole licensing thing. And you know, if you go onto the network, you're gonna find, you know, real American, but
you got the VHS with the sellotape on it.
Yes, exactly.
None of our viewers will know what that means. Me and you know what that means. Well, the struggle is real.
We have some older viewers. They know. There's some of them that know. But he actually erupted to the Eye of the Tiger. Is actually what was played. It's that iconic scene as the cameras go backstage to Hogan, Mr. T, and Jimmy Snuka passes by, a load of WWE kind of backstage guys, Vince and Alfred Hayes are there. and even David Wolf, obviously Cyndi Lauper's manager and husband, before they entered the arena. So I just thought, you know, and plus I wrote down Mr. T's robe as well, by the way, pretty awesome. Yeah. But I think that entrance is iconic because it's Madison Square Garden. You see the fucking size of Hogan back then. And he's that flowing blonde hair, you know, not all over his head, but where it matters.
Where it
was needed. And again, it's been something that's been a staple of my kind of wrestling journey as a child all the way, you know, going back and watching it, not being old enough to watch it live at the time, but going back and watching it and seeing that iconic walk where he's not even paying attention to fucking Vince or any of the boys. It's just business time. Yeah. And the fact that it's Eye of the Tiger as well, you know, it really is. And I think those two entrances are the reason that I put Piper and Hogan's entrance on was because it really did start it all. You know what I mean? You or me wouldn't be as big a pro wrestling fan as we are. And it wouldn't be on the, you know, it wouldn't be the spectacle that it is without that first one. So that's my number 9.
Great shout. I always remember it because I remember Clubber Lang, obviously in Rocky. And I always thought this guy is a monster of a man. And then I remember when I seen Clubber Lang, when I seen Mr. T beside Hogan, and Hogan was a giant beside him. And I was just thinking, how big is Hulk Hogan if he makes Mr. T look like that? This is the guy who was a monster in the A-Team. He was a monster in Rocky III. And then I was thinking, here's Hogan, who's just a giant of a man. Like, how big must he be if you see him in real life?
Then you grow up to learn that he's only the same height as us. I believe. I think he's only 5'9", isn't he?
Yeah. Well, listen, he can't be that tall. Any man that makes Sylvester Stallone look tall, you know what I mean? There you go.
Well, they done that on purpose, in fairness. They did do that on purpose. But no, Hogan legit probably was a good 6'5", 6'6", at the time. And now they like to bill him as 6'8".
Oh yeah, so you see him as Thunder Lips in the movie besides Stallone, and I mean that the dimensions there are quite telling.
I know they put him on that little stool for that scene, but when you actually see Hogan standing still barefoot with him, like Stallone is 5'9", I think, isn't he? And
if even, at a push.
Yeah. So it's like, wow. So no, but that is, again, it's still for me always gonna be the most iconic entrance, personally. Just because it's the first, and you know, doesn't hurt having Cyndi Lauper and all there behind him, you know, going mad. I thought it was actually really, really cool. So it was the rock and wrestling connection. Simpler times, Noel. Simpler times.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we were easily pleased back then. It didn't take much.
Yeah. Still am.
Yeah. This one I had to put in. It's not necessarily a huge entrance, if you like, or something like that, but certainly iconic in the business. And when you hear this now, even if you're walking by somewhere and you hear this noise, you straight away think of this man. And I went for WrestleMania 13, the Rattlesnake himself, Stone Cold Steve Austin, when that glass breaks. And when you hear that glass break, when you hear any glass break anywhere, even if you hear someone drop a glass in a pub or a pint bottle or whatever it is, you straight away as a wrestling fan think Stone Cold Steve Austin every single time you hear glass break. And that's why, to me, it's iconic and I had to make the list. Thought it was really cool. When he walks out, that glass smashes and out he comes, the Rattlesnake. Awesome.
Yeah, I got to say, unfortunately, we have ended on a tie because that was my guy as well. I mean, I talked about it last week, didn't I? And I said I think it's the best WrestleMania match of all time. Mm. And people will notice that there was no Bret Hart in here as well. So go fuck yourselves if you just want to come at me on this one. No, look, there's plenty of Bret Hart ones that mean a lot to me in terms of entrances, but this, I had to give it to Stone Cold on this one purely because this is like the match that meant the most in terms of where the trajectory of his career would go after this. And that one is just, And I used to actually, believe it or not, I don't know how many people, be very interested to know actually, sometimes, you know, listeners will surprise you and bring up little things that they enjoyed. I was actually a very big fan of those old entrances, the big square thing that they had where it had that kind of weird kind of entrance and then the light coming through. Because usually they used to have, you know, the metal kind of structure with the two curtains down.
That's right, yeah, a little sort of scaffold.
And do you ever notice, as well, I suppose it's the artist in me, but I used to always wonder, like, what was back there as a kid? Because every time you'd see the curtains open, it was all black. It was just darkness. And you were like, what are these guys doing? Just standing like in the dark before they go out, getting ready. And I used to, this is a nice little side note, I used to make, you know, when I had my Hasbro figures as a kid, I used to actually make my own little wrestling entranceways. And, you know, that was usually the one. And I'd make different sleeves for it. So, like, I'd draw, like, you know, with pen and marker. You know, the entrances on it. So, like, I'd have them and I'd put loads of work into them and make my own little events, like most kids probably did. But I always liked those old entrances, I have to say. And when they done that with Austin and had that glass break, it was like, wow, that's really, really, really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, awesome.
I'm not a nerd at all, like, wearing a Deadpool t-shirt.
Absolutely. Do you want to will we chuck in a couple of quick notable mentions before we finish?
Yeah, we should throw a few in. I think so. Go ahead.
I'll start with one. This one probably doesn't appeal to you. I don't think it is. I'd be surprised if it does. But the New Day at WrestleMania 32,
no,
where they're in the big cereal box and it collapses and all the booty-os come flying out and the three boys come out dressed up in kind of Dragon Ball Z attire. I put it in for a bit of fun on the notable mentions because I just think it's hilarious and it's kind of like, it probably reaffirms our judgment over the last few episodes about Big E as a world champion. It's like, it's very hard to shed that stuff, isn't it? Once you go down that road, very hard to shed it. I put in there as an entrance because I always thought, and I remember looking back, they did a little sort of piece on that and it showed how they constructed the box and the booty-os and all that kind of stuff and all. So just a bit of fun.
No, listen, this is okay. I have to say honorable mentions, like, because I did have a number and I'm going to go through them all, just I won't spend much time on them, but I went through Shawn Michaels obviously coming down as God. I thought that was fantastic. I thought it was a great entrance.
Both of them heaven and hell.
You always know what you're going to get with Taker. This is why I kind of had to give my boy Michaels a fair shake here so people don't think I'm biased, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I'll just call mine out and then you can go through yours. I went with the scene of 25 entrance where he had all the clones. I thought that was really cool.
Yes, really cool.
I thought that was actually really cool. What else did I go with? Undertaker at WrestleMania 20 when he returned from the dead. I thought that was actually really cool. He was supposed to be buried alive weeks before. And I thought that was really, really cool the way he came back that way. What else did I go with? I went with Piper at WrestleMania 3 as well. Thought that was fantastic because it was that was the 93,000 fans, of course, and the mini ring cart broke right before his entrance, as you remember.
That's on my notable mentions.
Yeah.
And you just see him jogging to the ring, and it was such a long entrance as well.
And it's his retirement match, you know. I went with that. What else did I go with? Rock turning up at 32. Went with that. Because that was something we hadn't seen in a while, which I thought was really cool. What else did I go? Cena going through the glass at 23 with the Mustang.
Yeah.
Went with that one. And that's it.
Yeah, they just on that one, the Cena one, they didn't get the camera work right because you could see Cena crawling out of the back seat to make his entrance. That's the only thing. But yeah, pretty cool concept on it and stuff like that. I've only two then to add because you're pretty much covered then, you know. I went with the Shield entrance at WrestleMania 29, which I thought was really cool.
Good show.
This was Ambrose at his peak as well, looked in great shape and stuff like that as well, and the two boys. And also a really, really good match. So really enjoyed it. But I always loved that Shield entrance, that music and, you know, that whole thing and that coming down through the crowd and stuff. It was really cool. The other one I'm sure you'll remember from WrestleMania 14, trying to get my numerals here correct. WrestleMania 14, yes, Shawn Michaels. I always like when they do wrestlers' entrances and they show behind the curtain first as part of the entrance. You know, like Goldberg's one coming from the locker room and stuff like that. I think that's really, really cool.
This was Earl Hebner, was it?
This was the shout out to Earl Hebner. This is the one where they were behind the gorilla position and Shawn was there and he was there with Triple H and China. And, you know, this was the build up to it, you know, and he's looking into the camera saying, this is for you, Earl.
I don't like you for hospital. Obvious reasons. Fuck Earl Hebner. I'd say that was also a dig at my boy too, Brett.
Time's not a healer for this man. But I thought that was really cool, the fact that they pan back and you see something, you know, behind the curtain.
All joking aside, I think it was actually pretty cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. So they're the only two I had. New Day, Bobby Heenan, we had mentioned already on the camel. Shawn at 14 with China and Triple H. The Shield entrance, and I had Piper running to the ring at WrestleMania 3. I thought only Roddy Piper in his retirement match would the card break down.
100%. No, but I do, honestly, all joking aside, I like that 14 one as well, because it was kind of cool, because you saw a little bit of a human side too. You got a little
insight to just before coming through the curtain, whereas we normally regard entrances as being this side of the curtain, not that side. But I always thought Goldberg's entrance was cool with the knock on the door and, you know, walking through. Pretty cool.
I think WCW Goldberg still always have that over WWE. I don't think WWE ever got Goldberg. I think they tried to make it too grandioso.
Yeah.
Whereas WCW, it was Raw. He's getting followed, you know, he's getting followed by the security guards and stuff, and he's here. And then hearing that Bobby Heenan, boom, man, you know what I mean? It was like, it was just always so big. And I think Vince has always tried to recreate that with Goldberg, but look, maybe he'll get to do it in Saudi Arabia again this year. I don't know.
Absolutely, yeah. But yeah, now that's it. That's what we had for entrances, so.
Love it. A great idea for a show. So we'll have to come up with something for next week as well. We're going to keep doing these. And obviously, I think people, it does create a little bit of conversation too. And there's so many different top tens we can do.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So we can do, as we said, we can do top 10 manias in general, which will obviously be a big one. That'll be one where we're going to be like, whoa, going to have to do a lot of going back and studying VHS on that one. I mean, I was trying to think today as well, you know, it's not always about your favorite wrestlers' entrances on these ones. It's about the memorable ones and the memorable moments, because there's plenty of people I left out. I mean, I didn't even have a Savage one in there, you know, let alone the Hitman. We left out loads of Undertaker ones there, but I mean, every Undertaker one is memorable. Like, even the WrestleMania 9 one is memorable for Undertaker, because you weren't used to seeing him out in the daylight, but that whole raven kind of crow gimmick that they had going on, it was like, this is still creepy. And then Giant Gonzalez and that beautiful onesie.
The other one that stuck out as well was Kane at MSG. When they lit up the sky red and stuff like that for the first time, all that kind of stuff was really, really cool.
The production is always awesome, isn't it? Like, you just, and it does, it's, and all we're trying to do here, ladies and gents, is to whet the appetite for Dallas this year. Because unfortunately, you've two nights of it. So you're obviously going to be there for two nights. So you're going to be there for 12 hours in total over the course of a 48-hour period. Good luck. Good luck.
Yeah, no, I've got SmackDown the night before as well. I wasn't planning on going to SmackDown, but I have to go because apparently they're bolting the Hall of Fame onto the back of SmackDown. So in order to go to the Hall of Fame, you have to have gone to SmackDown. So
cool. And that's what we will actually do. There's a good shout. What we'll do is we'll do a top 10 Hall of Fame speeches as well.
Yeah,
definitely, because there's been some fantastic ones. Yeah. I'm just saying, Sheiky is definitely in it.
Yeah, we can do it. Yeah, absolutely. Bret Hart, believe it or not, is one of the best.
Mr. T, gotta remember his mom.
that's not making my top 10 best. we may have to do a top 10 worst, would we?
Well, no, I think that's what we will do as well. Top 10 worst Mania matches, top 10 worst moments in Mania. Like, you know, so there's so many things that we're going to do over the over the course of the next few weeks. And this will be a show in itself. So, Niall, it's been a pleasure this week. Of course, people can follow you on the upper tier on Twitter and everywhere else. So do you want to do your usual shout out for your upper tier fans or the new possible football fans that you may acquire from this here show?
Yeah, well, if you're into football, it's a one-stop shop for you. It's the upper tier. We cover all of football, especially the Premier League and the top six. We do match reviews, reactions, previews, player ratings. We do interviews, we do legend series, we do tons of stuff over there. Content dropping every single day. We've the Shankly Sessions over there, the Liverpool podcast within the upper tier umbrella. We do Beat the Bookie, which we give you the tips and picks every week. So if you want to contact us, the upper tier podcast at gmail.com. You'll get us on Twitter at @_upper_tier. Or if it's the Liverpool one you want, at Session Shankly on Twitter. And we're on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok, the upper tier. And the upper tier podcast. So you'll get us everywhere. And of course, we're on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Amazon Music for audio versions of the show as well. So if you want to contact the show, you can get us anywhere on any of those platforms.
And of course, it is Mania season. And you did mention Wrestling Mania, which was the first ever sponsor of Dynamo's Dozen. And forever grateful for that. So you've got obviously a lot of stuff going on in the shop over the coming months, I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
Won't you tell people about that?
Yeah, we've stock arriving literally every day at this stage. New stock all the time coming in. We're also going to have some nice merchandise arriving tomorrow as well for the upper tier. But we're on the Shankly Sessions. But in terms of wrestling merchandise, yeah, we've got AEW stuff. We've got WWE stuff. But really focusing at the moment on memorabilia and on signed memorabilia. You would have seen today on Instagram as well, we got a beautiful hockey jersey in Calgary Hitmen, signed by Bret Hart. And we also got in a Jimmy Mouth of the South Hart jacket, signed by Jimmy and inscribed, and they're all JSA certified and stuff like that.
Are you saying they're for sale, Noel, or are you just saying they're on display?
They're on display in the shop. But if someone was to come in with a reasonable bid, we might be tempted to part ways with some of this stuff, but we shall see. But there's tons of stuff in there. We've got signed Sean Berger, what are they? There's 24x18s or 34x18. They're huge. Steamboat, Ric Flair, some great stuff in there at the moment. We've got urns, we've got signed turnbuckles, all kinds of good stuff in there.
Awesome.
So yeah, lots of memorabilia, lots of signed stuff, lots of cool figures, lots of collectibles. And the obvious stuff of t-shirts, DVDs, figures, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, really cool.
Well, so we're going to edit out the part that there is a Calgary Flames signed hockey jersey in the shop. That won't be there. The Jimmy Hart one?
No, it's a Calgary Hitman, isn't it? It's not the
Calgary Hitman. Sorry, my
Calgary Hitman. Yeah, apologies. Equally as cool. Though.
This is the Flames.
equally as cool.
Yeah, so we'll take that bit out because no one's getting that. that's been left in the will to me. if nothing else is, that has to be.
No, some cool bits.
No, 100%. And I do implore every one of you guys and gals to go and check out WrestleMania, top floor of the beautiful St. Stephen's Green Shopping Center, right in the heart of Dublin. Great place to go and just visit and look and be sure to buy something, because there's no way you're going to go in there and not want to buy something. Niall's always there as well to have a chat with you too. So be sure to drop in and tell him that we both sent you.
Absolutely.
Niall will be more than happy to tell you he sent you.
Drop in and say hello to that Niall guy.
And of course, just a little one that we had talked about previously, but just you reminded me of something there. Coming up to Mania season now, hopefully, touch wood, we're gonna have some get some more mugs and possibly t-shirts as well for Dynamo's Dozen. So
awesome.
We'll wait on that there and we'll see, because it's definitely in the pipeline. And obviously on this show, I particularly want to give a lot of them away for these particular shows that you're doing, and you're always kind of pushing that about giving mugs away and all. So we will definitely be I will definitely be investing in some merch coming down the line. Just keep supporting us, and we'll support you.
Yeah, absolutely. I forgot to mention as well, when I posted the Bret Hart signed jersey today on Instagram, you can't take the pod men out of certain men. But a shout out to one Jay Kennedy who came on with a comment saying, "I never heard of him."
Well, it's funny enough that you say that, because this supposed podman that you mentioned, I've never heard of him.
Shout out to Jay.
So whoever Jay is, shout out to you, my friend. I'll send you a batch of VHSs, and maybe you'll find out who he is. And by the way, Podmen will be back at some point in various stages on this here channel. So don't worry. We haven't forgot about the four Podmen fan. There's the same
phone, just a different platform.
Just a different platform. There's no love lost with all these gents. So it's 100% appearances from said Jay and people like that coming up over the future. So look, I think that about wraps it up for this week. Yep. Like I say, if you've enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and hit the bell notification, and do like the show and comment anywhere in the world that you happen to listen to this, because we do have fans all over the world, and I greatly appreciate it. Anyone that's been with Dynamo's Dozen, you know, from day one, going on nearly 4 years now, or three and a half, or whatever it may be. I'm not a mathematician. I'm very bad at it. But it's been a while. It's been a minute, as they say. So I really do appreciate you all kind of taking the time to come over and watch myself and Niall do these shows for you. And, of course, we're going to have lots of great interviews coming up for you as well, hopefully in the build-up to Mania season and going far beyond. And it won't all be just pro wrestling too, because we're not just a pro wrestling channel. There's plenty of other really, really cool guests that I have lined up for y'all. So be sure to follow me on Twitter, IanKelly800, at IanKelly800. You can just type in Dynamo's Dozen, that will also come up. We're on Instagram now as well. Dynamo's Dozen, you'll find us right there as well. And of course, Dynamo's Dozen on Facebook, and Dynamo's Dozen at Gmail is the email address. If you have any kind of queries or you want to sponsor the show, we would appreciate that too. Until next week, for me, Ian the Dynamo Kelly, your host, and for my co-host, the great shopkeeper, Niall Hogan, it is time for me to say that famous bow out line. Dynamo is over and out.